Welcome everybody to another episode of Spaghetti Code, and today we have the pleasure to have with us Giuseppe Costanza, which is a VP of product at Amitree and lecturer and teacher in different schools like Talent Garden Innovation School and Hegemony. Welcome.
Thank you Marco, thank you Ale for having me today. It's a pleasure. My first podcast, so I'm a little bit excited and nervous.
That's amazing, don't worry about it. And we are speaking in English, even if we are, all of us are Italian, but you know, our audience is growing, so we need to be international as well. So today we're going to talk about something that Giuseppe is very familiar with and very expert, which is OKR and how the OKR can be implemented in the company. And you know, what is the interaction between products and engineer in defining the OKR? Can you start to telling us a bit about your experience, how you got to learn about it, how you got to build your expertise around that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Around specifically about OKRs, I think I will also talk in plural we, because it was of course a team discovery. We discovered it, I think, in the most classical way. I was in a startup, growing fast. So we were around, I think, 80, 100 people at the time. We were a marketing tech startup with many departments. There were people directly in contact with the customer, serving the customer. We had like the engineering and product department. We had a marketing department and of course finance. And we were growing fast. And from Italy, we started opening offices also in some cities in Europe and even in Asia. So we were also having the very problematic issue of being in very different time zones. And I had the pleasure or the pain of experiencing it from both ways, like staying here and staying in Asia and seeing how painful it can be to wait until early afternoon before you can talk with anyone. And so I feel it's the classical situation, because like you're growing and you see like you're doing a lot of things. There are a lot of opportunities. Everyone is excited. Everyone was working like mad a lot. Like everyone wanted to bring success. But at the same time, we had this feeling like, okay, what's going on? Why I'm pushing so much in this direction and my colleague is pushing so much in the other direction? What's happening? Is me? Is them? They don't understand. And so it means like a lot of meeting, a lot of frustration, like the feeling that like you're working a lot, and then after 1 week, after 1 month, you are that what you have done, what your team has done was totally ineffective. And so we felt like we needed something. We introduced also Agile recently in that contest. We started doing Scrum. But as you know, Scrum was more internally to the product and engineering team. But like, what about the outside world? I remember I also introduced Scrum to the larger organization. I remember like I tried to introduce Scrum also outside of the product engineering team. I remember people also laughing when I was saying, okay, we do the Scrum, we have the Scrum Master, and people say, okay, well, what is this? Like, is the beauty salon things, the Scrum, like, what is this Scrum Master? It's like the master of the universe. And so I have to say, like, honestly, Scrum, it took a lot of time. It's a complex framework. So we're looking for something simple, something that can be used by all company and not specific for product and engineers. And we find OKRs. I mean, we look at, I don't remember exactly how we got at it. I think it was someone from the company that discovered the methodology. We taught ourselves. We watched some videos. I wanted to implement them. Or maybe I don't remember if we had some consultants from outside. And we introduced it. What I always say is like, what I love about OKRs and what it was very good at the moment is like, it's a very simple framework. Like, you can learn OKRs in 4 hours, one day. But all the complexity comes after, like implementing it in your case. And I think it's the right approach, because at the end of the day, like companies are complex. So you don't want like a very complex process with names you need to learn, new roles and ceremonies like Scrum, Agile. Of course, I don't want to say the Scrum Agile is not useful. I'm using it and it's very useful. But like in a big company, fast growing, where everyone is trying to understand where we are going and like what are the priorities, I feel like OKRs is really great. Because as I said, very simple for you. You set objectives at company level, you set a few key results, and then you try to bring it to the whole company. Why it is difficult? Because it constrains, especially management, in prioritizing, understanding what are the priorities. And especially in in exciting environment like fast-growing startup, you have a lot of opportunities. Like you can grow in Asia, you can decide to open USA, you can decide to become stronger in your country and sell more to the companies, to the customers you already have. But like and then what's happened, like if you don't focus, is like you will find yourself as a company in really bad shape after some time, because you have a lot of things happening but nothing is really happening like in the right way with a lot of focus. So focus is an important keyword, a few objective, few things that you want to do. And for management, especially for CEO, is very difficult. You have to decide, this is important, this is not important. This we take out of our area of responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I think this is extremely interesting, because I agree with you. It forces you to make an explicit choice about what you want to do. It cannot be, you know, usually one of my experiences was that some companies, when they grow, they want to do everything. Mm-hmm. They want to do everything. They see opportunities everywhere, and maybe there are opportunities everywhere, but they don't want to make a choice. They want to don't want to make a deliberate choice of what to drop and say, okay, we are not going to do that. And you know, when you base on objectives and you have some metrics, some KPIs to define them and to monitor them, that's help you to make those type of choice. But I have a question actually about one thing, because you talked about high scaling companies. And you know, I work in different type of company sizes. I've seen that, you know, in a smaller company, we tend to go towards kind of a project-based approach to the work. And I never seen OKR implemented in the way it should be implemented, at least on the paper, in a small company. So what is your opinion about that?
I have the pleasure of working with OKRs in different settings, and yeah, I agree with you. Like usually you see them in big companies, and it's known their origins. It come from Intel, and then they've been implemented at Google. So already in companies that had, like, I don't know, thousands of people working in them. But from my experience, it's something that you can use really at all level. And again, because it's very simple, like it doesn't tell you how many people you need to have to be effective. As it can be effective in bigger companies, it can also be on smaller companies, or even some. I heard some people, I don't know if it's true, that put for themselves like in personal project. But at the end of the day, it's the mindset. So to go a little bit more specific, for example, when I was working in a fintech Berlin startup, we were around 35 people. We were growing fast. We have like very ambitious plan. We just raising money. And so we implemented OKRs, and it was very useful in that moment, because we knew that, like, we were still in the face of, I was like sitting in front of the CEO, so everyone can align very quickly. But we thought that having this structure, this way of thinking, would allow us in the scaling phase. More recently, against my initial assumptions that were, okay, OKRs are important where you have a communication issue, where there are so many people, and like, or you're growing so fast that you know the communication issue will arise. But I was thinking before that, like in small setting, in startup with 10, 20 people, they were an overhead. Because of course it takes time. Like you have to think about, you have to implement them, write them down, agree on them. But recently at Amitri, we decided to give them a try. And I have to say that I changed my mind. I thought it was an overhead, but now it's. I have to say that, like, we are in the process of setting them for the third quarter, and they are really helping us a lot. And I don't know. I can tell you more about how we came to decide it, or
I'd be very interested in that, Giuseppe. I just wanted to ask a question. I feel like sometimes. Especially if OKRs are not implemented, you know, correctly, they might constrain the team, the group, the organization so much that you kind of make it harder to recognize, you know, changes in the environment, and it makes harder for you to react to these kind of changes. You kind of, I kind of worry that you're going to stick to the plan regardless of whether the plan still makes sense, if you know what I mean. Is that, is there a risk in that sense?
From my experience, I would say that the risk is the contrary. Usually, okay, when companies are not like disciplined and focused, what you see is like that OKR get forgotten. Like the CEO, the management spend time in setting them, they present it to the company, and then like there are emerging tasks, emerging needs.
Yeah.
And absolutely, everyone says, okay, forget about OKR. Usually no one says this. It's just like something that, you know, the elephant in the room. You just keep there and say, why we're not doing OKRs anymore? And like no one really wants to be the one raising the hand. So and by the way, like it's in the OKR framework, I mean, at least the way I use it is not like the end of the world if you change your quarterly goals. But having the OKRs, you feel much more in need, constrained to really be good at communicating the change. What is the change? Why did it change? So the point is like, yes, you can change the OKR, it can come from a team, it can come from the management, but be clear about that. And that's one other aspect that for me is very important about OKRs. And as you say, like an error you get when it doesn't happen is communication, being accountable. So to really work OKR, the setting is complex, takes a lot of time, but like the error that like you shouldn't do is like setting them and forgetting. And then at the end of the quarter, you think, we have this OKR thing we need to know. It's in my calendar to do OKRs. No, it's like you have to have a process. And I can tell in this fast growing startup I was in fintech in Berlin, it was really great because every week we had a company meeting in the morning where every team was presenting their progress toward the OKRs. And like very clearly saying, this is going good, this is going bad. So you also have to create, and that's not something OKR can do, but it can facilitate like this environment where there is trust, where it's not a problem to say that plans are not going as expected. And that's also because I also saw another error, OKRs that get tweaked. So I say, yeah, I have to set OKRs. So, you know, this project is almost done. I'm gonna no one knows about it. So I'm gonna put in my next OKR. So I can sleep safe. I will put some percentage and I will get a big price at the end of the quarter. That's not the right mindset. So they work well when you have an environment where there is trust, communication, transparency. And so in this case, it happened to me. Like I was working on projects, like we were very strong, maybe doing a partnership. Okay, find a partnership to open the market in a specific country. And then like after 2 weeks, month, there is a news, maybe on the legal side, on the tech side, or maybe you do a more in-depth analysis and you understand that these things cannot happen. And so at this point, what you do? You continue with the project or just hide it under the carpet? No, in a team that works well, you bring it up to your manager, you bring it up to the CEO and say, look, we know this is very important. We cannot do it, so we need to change our OKRs. This is not something we can do anymore. And you share with all the company, and of course, only in an environment where you feel safe, where you feel no one is gonna point the finger at you. If things go not as expected, you can expect that this goes well.
This is very, very interesting perspective, the one that you said, because it's not just about setting goals, but it's also about driving alignment. And you know, communicating what are the why we are doing something. I mean, when you do project-based goal, you are very focused on what needs to be done. This mm-hmm. project, we need mm-hmm. to deliver this kind of capabilities, this kind of service, right? But does not tell necessarily by itself the goal that you are setting, why you are doing it. Right? For OKR, is most fully focused on why. So you want to reduce, I don't know, error rate, for instance. Yeah, just making
yes.
it up.
Yes.
But you know why actually you want to do it. So everybody knows that and everybody will be aligned. Of course, you know, as you said, you can be challenged, you can be changed. But you know, in my experience, for instance, when we were working on a project base, you know, we were pushing some of the things that needed to be done. And the team was like, you're asking me to do this. I don't even know why you want me to do this, you know? And so you have to explain. With OKR, it's already in the goal.
Yes. No, that's very important, and that's also one of the hardest things to do. Like in the jargon of the OKR, usually we call it like outcome versus output. So thinking about outcomes and not output is like one of the most difficult mindset change. And I would say probably for me, I see like in product teams, like working a lot with product designer, UX designers, product manager, it's kind of easier because like as a product manager, you always have to think about what's the value, what's the outcome that you are bringing, and not like getting love on the solution, as you say. But I see for other departments, it's very difficult. I worked with a lot of people that like they have a mindset where they think in their mind about, okay, what I want to do, how can I do that? And so what they communicate is only, okay, I need a new website, for example. But at the end of the day, do you really need a new website? So OKRs, when done properly, really tell you, let's say make a simple example that everyone can follow. So we say, oh, we have this new shiny product, the product works very well. Now we have to focus on the product marketing, like promoting it. And you know, in a classical tech team, in a classical tech startup, you can say, okay, we need a shiny website. We need a Facebook page. Why? Is what I always done with the product marketing team is what they default to. But if you do a step back and you say, what I'm trying to achieve? I have a great product. I want the world to know about my great product. And you think in this way, and that should be your objective. And we can focus more about how to set objective because you should have a clarity around what is. But let's say that the objective is like, make sure that our target, like the target audience knows about our great product. And like at this point, instead of saying we need a new website, like you start thinking, okay, how can we do that? And some ideas can come and say, but why, instead of doing a website, maybe we do a presentation, we do a video on YouTube and we launch it. Maybe we want to do some paper like flyers. It's very old style and can seem like crazy, but I don't know, maybe if you're, I remember as a user, when I was in Berlin, there was this startup that was doing a social network for neighborhood. It was very interesting. So you could connect with your neighborhood. And how I discovered about them, there was a flyer in my post box. So, you know, like it also helps you in thinking outside the box, like instead of thinking, as you said, about project and being focused on the project, like focus on the outcome. What do you want to achieve? Another fun examples we do when we take course to people that have no experience with OKRs is the one with the gym. So let's say that like it happens to all of us. Come on, like you see, like you can apply also OKRs in normal life. You know, like let's say that you want to be ready for the next summer. You want to lose a little bit of belly, and that's a very Italian problem with the great pasta we have. And so you say, okay, you know what? I'm gonna subscribe to the gym. And so you make like the subscription to the gym your goal,
yes.
the objective, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Subscribing to the gym. And then you say, okay, I subscribe to the gym. Great, I paid a lot of money, done. No, like it's like, of course, it's going there every day and sweating and doing exercise. And so in this case, the right thing would be prepared to shine at the Lido in summer. And so like the key result will be going, I don't know, at least 3 times a week at the gym and doing 30 minutes of exercise. Because again, as Italians, you know very well, you can also go to the gym and then you spend all the time there, like taking a coffee,
chatting, yeah.
talking with the trainer. And so, yeah, that's a fun example, but I think it's really conveys the sense of the OKRs.
Yeah, especially if you just measure yourself by, you know, maybe subscription at the gym as opposed to, I don't know, weight
exactly,
loss.
Exactly. And, yeah. And like, it's some funny and like very easy to overcome, but it's so hard when you apply it to your everyday at work. It's much, much easier. And most of the projects are at the end of the day set up like thinking about these, like doing a new website. Doing a new website is not like a good is good goal. It's like the good goal would be making sure that people know about our product and understand what are the main advantage of it. Sometime, Marco, I want to clarify, it makes sense to have very project-specific OKRs, and that's something unavoidable, because I distinguish usually the OKR settings between two phases. Like there is more of an exploration phase, and more of an execution phase. So let's say that this quarter we really made a great research, like, okay, making a marketing plan. We want to reach our customers. What's the best way? What's the most cost effective? Where they spend time? And we realized that, like, doing a new website is the right things to do. So it can make sense that as an objective you have, okay, having the new website. Usually then as KRs, you're going to set things like having at least 1,000 people, make sure that, like, we have some, I don't know, 100 contact form signed. So again, like on results, not only on the website done, but in product sometimes you can have also like things done. It's not ideal. Usually in the methodology, they tell you to always have measurable, quantifiable results. So something that can go in a scale, and so saying percentage of completion. But in product is also true that most of the time the things you do are like done or not done. So for example, I found myself with OKRs like key results like contract signed. Yes, you can measure a percentage and say
Just put the name, not the surname yet.
Yeah, well, or maybe like we had a customer like told us, or the partner told us at the phone that is doesn't see any impediment to sign. Yeah. But at the end of the day, what you want to achieve is like sign or not. You cannot say, oh, it's 0.5% done and so it's good. Yeah, but generally speaking, it's good to have this measurable. And so, for example, for engineers, I think it can be interesting for you, like cutting costs. So, you know, when you start a new product, usually you don't optimize for performances. And so maybe you want to make sure that everything works, and you just go on Amazon, AWS or something like that, that they are very good at taking a lot of money one cent at a time. And then like you find yourself with like a successful product, but bills that are crazy. And so maybe then for the engineering team, a good key results can be reduce our Amazon AWS cost by 50%. And that's very easy to measure. You'd say, okay, we reduce it by 25%, but still we are happy about what we've done.
What's the granularity when you... I suppose effective OKRs need to be continuously sort of reviewed. And I guess when setting them together with the team, like how often do you go back and really make sure that you are actually moving in the right direction?
Yeah.
You know, following the OKRs.
Yeah. You can do it weekly or bi-weekly. Honestly, I prefer bi-weekly because sometimes weekly is more the frustration, like especially depending on the project you're doing, that like you cannot really measure the progress in a week. And so yeah, usually also from product, you know, if you're doing Scrum, usually Scrum is a 2 weeks sprint, so having OKRs, reviewing them bi-weekly sounds right. And so usually there is this thing called grading or scoring. And so the concept is like that usually you have your OKRs or in a Google Sheet, or there are even tools that are allows you to do this. And so you say, okay, for each key results of my team, where we are at, and like what's the percentage of completion. And on this, it's also very important. And again, like it seems very stupid and easy to do, but it's not. Like before you start, making sure that you can measure what you are putting as key result. It can be very easy to just have a key result and say, okay, I want to increase this by 1,000. And then you say, how are we measuring it? And like, there might be 10 different ways. I can make a simple example. We set a key result recently that was not done in the best way. Like he says, reduce this metric by 30%. And then like week after week, we were saying, okay, but 30% compared to what? To previous week, to previous month, to previous quarter. And so, you know, and also with metrics, it's very easy to play around. And if you want to let them shine, or if you want them to look bad. And so very similar to what we do with product metrics, like be clear on what you're measuring, otherwise what you can do. And I saw like in the past teams doing it, like really playing with OKRs like politicians and say, yeah, but we increased this 20%. Yeah, great. And you're like, that's not the right approach. It's, as I said before, it's about transparency, accountability, feeling okay in saying this is not going as planned, and most importantly, because like what's the outcome of it? It's like, if very easy to make an example, for example, with the sales department, okay, because usually you want to increase revenues or getting new customers. If you wanted to get 10 new customers, we are at the half of the quarter and we got 2. Usually there are teams that are more optimistic than others. And so, yes, you can just go there and say, oh, we have 2 customers. Yeah, it's going slow. Okay, it happens. What you should really do is like, okay, we have 2 customers. It's not the end of the world, but let's see what we can do, change our plan to make it happen. And so that's also why it's important to have outcome-oriented key results, because similar to the gym example, you can set OKRs that is, I'm going to do 100 phone calls a day to sell my product. But it's not the phone calls that makes you sell the product. You have to understand what are the actions that make it happen. And so having a key result that is like making 100 phone calls is a bad key result. You want a key result that is closing 100 contracts, closing 10 contracts. And then you have initiatives. The initiatives usually you can put in the OKRs, but they are mutable. They are done to change over time, because you start at the beginning of the quarter and say, okay, I'm going to start making 100 calls a day. Let's see how it goes. Then I measure and say, 100 calls, how many contracts closed? 0. Okay. Doing calls is not the right thing, or maybe I'm doing the calls wrong. And so questioning yourself, iterating, and understanding like what you can do to go to your end results to arrive at a good result.
And do you have any recommendation? I suppose effective OKRs always need to support the, you know, company-wide strategy at the end of the day. So I guess it becomes like a useless exercise if a specific team starts setting, you know, OKRs for the sake of it without really making sure that they are feeding back into the
overall strategy. Yeah, that's a question that came in some while doing training. I also do some OKRs workshop for big companies, and we were talking about it before starting. It's interesting. I see also now bigger companies in Italy, like even banks, like say, oh, we want to do the workshop about OKRs, and that's super interesting. But like in a big organization, and then what they tell me is like, but Giuseppe, does it make sense for us to set OKRs? Usually it's a digital team, like the team or their department that in a bank is working on digital solutions. And they ask me, does it make sense for us to set OKRs on ourselves? Honestly, not much. Because as you say, Ale, if you don't have like a top-down view where like you're aligned with the top priorities for the companies, the priorities for the management, for the CEO, setting them, it might be like just a frustrating exercise, because then you realize, okay, I done it, I talk about it, but no one else in the company and things. And usually, you know, like there is also, I say that this was the workshop, sometimes it's also like therapy, because they say it's just realizing that like the person next to you is having the similar problem and you thought you were alone. And so it's interesting when we start talking about bad experience or managers that like are just waking up in the morning and changing direction. So definitely OKRs, you need the buy-in from the CEO. You need the right mentality. I can tell you, in a company where like the management cannot disclose to the team what are really the priorities, because there are some secrets, because there are some things going on, OKRs, they are useless, because what do? You lie in your OKRs, and then you see the management is working on things that like doesn't make sense. And so what's the point? But there is still an op, because what I always thought is like OKRs is also like a change of mindset. So no one's forbid you to use OKRs. And like what I also say in the course we teach is like, the shopping list, it's also like you find in psychological productivity articles, the shopping list. Oh, you have a lot of things to do, you feel stressed, do a shopping list and cut things. This is something that like everyone likes to do. And, you know, sometimes all the people in their job, in their life, default to shopping list. So oh, today I sent 10 emails. Today I created 20 stories in Jira. Okay, great. I finished my day. I close my computer. I get my deserved beer or a glass of wine. But like, if you think really about objective key results, you say, okay, I created 10 Jira stories. What's the outcome I produced? What's what I did today for myself, for my team? Maybe I better create one user story, or maybe removing 10 user story from the backlog and knowing that I was more effective. So that's my view on that.
There is one thing I was wondering while you were saying the last few things about the psychotherapy for some of the teams during your courses. Do you think OKR help also team to collaborate better together? And also, how can you make sure that the team are involved in the definition of the OKR? Because, you know, sometimes OKR comes from above, as you said. There is top-down management that says, okay, that's what you have to do, that's it.
Yeah. No, it's a great question. Yeah, no, I think it helps collaboration, because both in the setting and in everyday reviews, it motivates you to go and cooperate. For example, like if you are in product and you know that, like, you cannot set OKRs without talking with the engineering team, with the marketing team, with the operation team. You need to understand what are the goals of the other teams. And so, like, let's make an example that can be relevant for especially engineers. If I want to, if my goal in product and marketing, let's say, is to scale up doing a huge marketing campaign and acquiring 10,000 users or customers in the next 3 months, in a situation where now we have just some hundreds, I cannot do it without talking with the engineering manager, with the CTO, because possibly it means that we need to invest in infrastructure and making sure that everything is ready to be scaled. And so they need to be aware. But at the same time, in product, I want to hear from the engineering team, what are your priorities for the next quarter? What do you want to focus on? I want to know now, because your goal is also my goal. I mean, it's, you know, like in a good cooperation between engineering and product, it should work this way. But also I want to understand, like, customer service, what are your focus? Do you need help from us, from product in having things? And so you plan these things in advance, and hopefully you avoid the problems like that someone just come out of the blue and says, hey, I need you to redo my CMS by tomorrow. And say, where does it come from? If you know before. And then in the day-to-day, if you have, as I said, like this open communication at the company wide, where everyone is talking about the OKRs, it can be really good at realign. And so, you know, like you had a goal, for example, marketing, on bringing 500,000 people in our website per month, and they consider it the only way to arrive at thousands of subscribers. And they are doing differently. Like, so they are having some issue, and they are not bringing the people that they were thinking about bringing. So this should turn on a light bulb for the engineering team and say, okay, but if our website is empty, why we're spending so much time and energy in optimizing? Let's go and talk after the meeting. I'm going to talk with the people of marketing, maybe with the CEO even, and like define, but does it still make sense for us to have this objective if the other department won't meet this objective? Or even better, in a company where there is a lot of goodwill to cooperate, if I see that my team is not reaching their OKRs while I feel that I'm in good shape, I can say, hey colleagues, hey team, how can I help you? What I can do you to help reach your goal? Because it's not your goal. It's not something that you're gonna get a bonus or a pin to put to your chest, and me not. It's a company goal. And so if we understand how all the pieces are contributing to the success of the company we're working in, we are all motivated in.
Because you were talking about also check-ins, regular check-ins before, right? And I was wondering, what is the frequency of how you suggest to set up OKRs? Because in the past, for instance, I've done it quarterly. But yes, I found it very heavy, in terms of process, and maybe it was the process I used to work with that was too heavy. But at the same time, I found it, in a sense, a bit unrealistic, because some of the OKRs that we were setting were not reachable in one quarter. just because it requires a different type of initiative, different type of work in order to then achieve the number, the actual number. I'm not talking about the project one that maybe you can do in a quarter, but the actual number. So what is your suggestion, or at least your approach?
Usually, like in the perfect scenario, you set yearly OKRs at the beginning of the years, and then you do quarterly OKRs. And so once you have the yearly one, it's much easier because you understand, okay, and that's like, we can say even normal planning you do in a well-structured company. You say, if in December we want to be here, where do we need to be in March? So we can do it. So you start planning and, you know, OKRs, yes, it's hard. It has to be hard. And like also being realistic about your objective, there are two schools of thought about it, because like there is this difference between moose shot and roof shot. So there is like a school of thought where like you do a roof shot. So you set very realistic OKRs for yourself. So last quarter we got 50 customers in. Now our goal is to get 70 customers. It's an improvement, it's better, but we know that we can make it. We know that we have the tools. While a roof shot is like, we just released the MVP. Next quarter we have 100 customers. And everyone says, okay, that's a realistic. We cannot do that. But if you put it in the right space between being difficult to achieve but not impossible, it starts becoming very interesting, and it's a moonshot. So we have this quote in our presentation for the course that says, if you shoot to the roof and you miss it, maybe you arrive at the wall. But if you shoot to the moon and you miss it, maybe you arrive at the stars. It's very poetic. But the concept is like that if you are setting for yourself and for your team very, very realistic and not bold goals, it's very hard that someone will be motivated in getting something great. If you have very bold goals, but also should be exciting for the team, even if you don't do them, and like there are some school of thought in the methodology that says you should aim at achieving 70% of your goals. And even like I talk with a lot of people and say, but what does it mean? Like if I know that I'm gonna do 70%, just write 70%, what's the point of it? But my view on it is, this is very personal, it's not written in any book, is like that, you know, like in a quarter, as you said, a lot of things happen. And usually you set 3-5 OKRs, right? And so it can happen that one of the objective you know that you cannot achieve. And so you can say, okay, this one, we cut it out because we know now that it's impossible, but we have still enough to do in the other four. And so maybe we do 0 in one and we do 90% in another, we do 50% in another. But like what I find exciting when it's done well, it's like that at the beginning of your quarter, you say, this is crazy, we're not going to do any of this. And then at the end of the quarter, you say, wow, look how much we've done. And it's also learning, like, look how much we learn.
Yeah, so, you know, be flexible anyway, reevaluate the situation as you go towards the quarter to see if it's still something that is achievable or not. But have you ever experienced OKR that were linked to bonuses?
That's wrong. I never experienced, and like, it's also what they say you should never ever do. Because again, like at that point, the instinct will be let's be very safe. I want this bonus, and so let's make sure that like I said, not my OKRs are not too optimistic. Otherwise, I don't get the bonus. It's hard. I have to say also this is very hard. But in a team that works well, the way you measure people results should not be linked to the OKR. We can make an example again for engineers. Let's say that again, like our goal is to reduce the cost of AWS by 30%. So we are spending 100K a month now, we want to spend 70K a month. We have an engineer, like a team of engineers or a single person doing a great job refactoring, understanding like where things, but like, of course, it's not that you're going to measure the engineer based on the reduction of cost. You know, it can be a little bit tougher in sales, because sales is very measurable by its nature. And so usually you count the contract closed, but also there you can demonstrate that, like, say, okay, we went to close 10 customers, but you brought a customer that's bringing a lot of money or a lot of opportunities for us to showcase their logo. And so that's a great achievement. And then like what you measure people on. Success, it should be very clear from the day one what's success in the job. It's another.
Yeah, but also actually I think the example you made about the sales, if you call people to sell your product and the pitch that you are making it does not reflect the needs and the problems that the customer is trying to solve, then you are not going to sell that. And actually, if you are able to sell it, it's just because you can leverage the ability of the salesperson to move around the storytelling that they are saying, I'm not in sales, so probably someone from sales listen to that. I imagine that, right?
I imagine that
they have a kind of a line or a kind of pitch that they need to follow.
Yeah, but this is also can be a tricky situation. I don't know if you've ever been in the situation where you have a great sales team, and as we say in Italy, like you can sell a fridge to penguins in the Antarctica. And then like they say, okay, it happened to me, and they say, okay, I closed this great contract with the best company in our country. Hey, great, and what did you sell? Our product? No, I sell something totally different. They need a social media campaign. They didn't need our software to manage OKRs. Say, okay, what? Yeah, but it's a big customer, and the CEO is super happy. Say, okay, I don't care. We sell OKR software, but like we have this customer that wants us to do social media marketing. Let's do social media marketing. You know, I've been there, and like it was good. Sometime we opened new branches in the company, but again, it's about alignment. Like another example I do when I in the OKRs, for example, setting for the sales team, and that's something real in many companies. Usually, you have in a big company different products, right? And not all products are the same. Like it's not like if you bring a contract of 1 million, it's all the same. Usually what I hear from tech companies, like you have on-premise, for example, very classical example. You have the old product is on-premise, and then you have the new version that is cloud, that is on a SaaS-based model. And so, you know, like the company want to push the new product, the SaaS-based. So possibly an OKR for the sales team would be make sure that 70% of your sales quota will come from the SaaS product. And so it's not about the number. You made 1 million, but you sold the on-premise, that it cost us more than we get to maintain, and it has a lot of problems. And so you see how the objective of the company can be detached from the personal goals.
A great perspective. I think one of the things that I learned from you, Giuseppe, today, and it feels like this is a common theme in some of the conversations I'm having, even outside the podcast, is that, you know, these are all tools that we need to learn to use to our own advantage. We don't need to end up being used by the tools. So mm-hmm. what's really mm-hmm. important here is, you know, use OKR for the sake of your, you know, organization. Be transparent about what your goals are, you know, and, you know, make sure that there is enough psychological safety to effectively use the tools, as opposed to just look at numbers and figures and maybe punish people for not, you know, hitting the numbers. I think this is great. I think our audience might benefit from your knowledge even more. If you have some resources or, you know, books or anything really that you can recommend to start practicing better and mm-hmm. the right use of OKRs.
Mm-hmm. Books, I'll be honest, I never found a book that I think it's great about the OKRs. I have some blog posts that I usually check. One that I think is very good and compelling is founderjar.com, what is OKR. It's a very long post with also illustration and examples. And another one that I was recently checking just to recap and see what I can improve is like whatmatters.com. And then there is another resource that is named okrexamples.co. It's quite interesting. It provides you a lot of examples of OKRs, but honestly, like it's interesting to see just to get a grasp. But I think like the only way to really understand OKRs is trying to implement them. And it's you cannot really copy and paste OKRs from like product OKRs from a resource. But a little trick that I use, that it can be interesting, and also especially in this moment where everyone is talking about ChatGPT, is I'll be honest, I use ChatGPT to refine my OKRs. And so I put it there and say, hey, what do you think? And, I don't know if you use ChatGPT a lot, but sometimes it gives you good suggestions, sometimes not. Sometimes it's very flattering. They say, hey, these OKRs are very good. It's like shaped so greatly and it makes me feel so good.
It's like another session of therapy, ChatGPT.
Ego boosting, ChatGPT.
But it's an interesting experiment. Also, you know, like to start from the white page is also intimidating, whatever you're doing. And so trying to write, look, I'm in a team. We are a product team. We want to do these things and that things. How would you structure it in the OKR? And you start getting suggestions. You realize what is working and what's not. And then you move from them. But really, the best way is start testing them. The first quarter is gonna be a disaster, and it's okay. I mean, and then you have to iterate and see what's come next.
That's great. So thank you very much, Giuseppe. And actually, I just realized we called you Giuseppe the whole time, but the right version in English would be Giuseppe.
Thank you for
I'm sorry for that. We should have asked you before how you wanted to be addressed, but anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much. And I think we learned a lot, and from your experience and your perspective on the topic. And I wish you enjoyed it, and our audience enjoyed it as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad. And if someone listening wants to get in touch and ask me, I'm always happy to help or mentor people that want to learn this thing. So you can get in touch on my LinkedIn, Giuseppe Costanza. You can search for me, and I always respond within a couple of days on LinkedIn.
No, you also have an SLA. Amazing.
Yes, it's in all my personal OKRs.
Thanks so much, Giuseppe.
Thank you, Marco. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you very much.